And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, how important is it to you guys to find a left-handed hitter who can play first base?
What do you mean?
Like with Bobby, you know, not doing well against right-handers, you know, do you feel like it's kind of critical for you to find someone who could hit right-handers at first base?
I don't think it's critical, you know. I think it's something that we would like to, you know. That's why Marwin and Danny were so important. That's why Frenchie is important, too. We need to produce. That's the bottom line, you know, and we cannot rely only on the top part of the lineup. For us to, you know, we envisioned a lineup that it was going to do damage, right, in the bottom of the lineup. It hasn't happened yet, but I think it's important to whoever, you know, we're facing against righties at first base, you know, whoever is playing to do a good job, you know, and get on base and produce. It's very important for us.
Okay, let me translate that for you. Okay, I'm going to translate that for you tonight here on the Baseball Hour. And just quickly, Matt McCarthy's alongside tonight. He's typically with us on Fridays, but he'll be here for the entire hour. We'll open up the phones right away, 617-779-0985. So when Alex Cora says whoever's playing first base for us against righties has to do a good job, you know what he's really saying? Bobby Dalbec blows. That's what he's saying. Bobby Dalbec blows. Boy, does he suck. And I don't know why it's taken me this long to get to this point, but the more I watch Bobby Dalbec, the more I don't understand how the Red Sox can't prioritize a first baseman over everything else on the current roster. So that is where we're going to begin tonight on the Baseball Hour. I want to get to Garrett Richards' performance last night. Some of his comments after the game. The Red Sox took 2 out of 2 from the Blue Jays. Obviously had a rainout in there, but they won both games. Hit a bunch of home runs. But I think Garrett Richards really is the talking point of that game last night. Yankees are in town. We'll get to that. There's something about this matchup tonight in particular that I do like for the Red Sox. So we'll share that with you a little bit later. But I want to start with Bobby Dalbec. Because I said this last year, Matt McCarthy. Dalbec came up, played well, hit 260, hit a bunch of home runs, looked like he had some promise. It was a bleak year. He was one of the few bright spots. And I said at one point, Bobby Dalbec represents everything that is wrong with Major League Baseball. Walk, strikeout, home run is what he was. He felt like a softball player to me. And I will tell you that if he does what he did last year and you have the team you have now, fine.
Oh, yeah. 260 with that pop, you'll take it any day of the week, Maz.
No problem. No problem at all. But I looked this up today, and I didn't realize it was this bad, because in the last week, I've seen him make a couple of plays at first base that have just sent me over the edge. And really, it was one in particular last week. There was a throw across the diamond, and I wish I could remember who made it. He stretched for the ball. There was an error on the play, and I thought, ooh, that ball got short-hopped, and he couldn't pick it. Then I watched the replay, and the ball hit the heel of his thumb on his glove. He missed it. He just missed the throw. He couldn't catch it. It wasn't in the dirt. It's not like it popped in and out of his glove. He literally just missed it. It didn't. He couldn't catch it in his glove. And that really shook my confidence in him. And in fact, I remember Eckersley saying during the replay, well, no, he just kind of whiffed. He kind of whiffed on it. Then last night in the third inning with one out, there was a ground ball to the left side that was kind of a hard, high bouncer that Devers had to go back into the hole on to his left. Devers got it, threw across the diamond, and admittedly made a bad throw. He short-hopped it. Dalbec tried to scoop. And it was a tough pick. He missed it by a mile, and the runner ended up on second base. And it occurred to me at that point, his defense sucks too. It's not just his offense. His defense sucks too. Bobby Dalbec has sucked all year long. There was one little stretch of games early in the year, about 10 games in, where he started to hit a little bit.
Yeah, in Minnesota, right?
Yes, it started right around there. Correct, so you remember it. And it did. It got a little bit better there. He was starting to hit the ball to the other field. But with the trading deadline coming up, typically my instinct is to say pitching, more and more pitching. I want pitching. I don't know that the Red Sox are going to go get an elite pitcher. I think their chances are better at getting a pretty good to good first baseman who hits from the left side, because this kid cannot play. And if there are any Bobby Dalbec defenders still out there, I would love to hear from you. Because the Red Sox right now, despite having the year they're having, rank 13th among the 15 American League teams in OPS at first base and 15th in defense.
I'm honestly shocked it's 13th in OPS offensively. I'm shocked it's not dead last, Maz, to be totally honest. I mean, that's how bad their production at first base has been this year, predominantly Bobby Dalbec. And I think this is somewhat of a reflection on the organization, because this kid, there was always going to be a lot of hit or miss with him, right? I mean, we knew it coming up through the minor leagues. There was a tremendous amount of strikeout in his game. So you knew there was a chance he'd be a complete and total flameout. And the backup options haven't worked either. Gonzalez, Franchy Cordero's coming up. He's playing first base. Danny Santana, Michael Chavis. They had no viable alternative to Bobby Dalbec. And at this point, Maz, you're right. I think it's arguably their biggest need here at the deadline, even though I, of course, want pitching. You always want pitching at the deadline. I've been saying all year, I want a platoon first baseman, somebody can play some outfield, another professional bat. No, you need an everyday first baseman, because not only is it Dalbec, it's everybody else. It's Santana, it's Gonzalez, and if you're expecting Franchy Cordero to come up and give you anything at first base, I got news for you, that ain't happening either. They need a legitimate, bona fide, everyday first baseman. And again, I think that ultimately comes back to the organization. You needed a better backup plan for Bobby Dalbec. This was always a possibility, and unfortunately, our worst dreams have come true at first base, because the kid can't play right now. He needs to be in Worcester. He does. He can't play at the big league level. I'm not saying he's done for good, but for 2021, no, he's done. This experiment is over for this year.
I'll tell you how bad it's gotten for me. I'm actually eager to see Franchy Cordero and see what he can do. I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking, and that's why I'm laughing.
I'm half inclined to see what Franchy Cordero can do at first base, and I think Franchy Cordero can't play baseball. But at this stage, Dalbec has been useless at first base. He's given them nothing. And so, again, I'm picking on him a little bit for that play last night, because the pick was hard. So the ball was out in front of him. He stretched, and he couldn't pick it, and it was a hard play. The right play, though, would have been to back up and try to play it on the hop.
Yep.
So he misread it. And this is, again, I know he has experience at third base, and from what I understand, he's a good defensive third baseman.
Yes.
But I watch him, and I say, he's killing you everywhere. He's killing you at the plate. He's killing you in the field. The kid shouldn't be playing. He should not be in the lineup.
Well, I think you're spot on about the defense, because at the beginning of the year, you know, I was making the argument, hey, you know, this kid can play first base a little bit. He's a third baseman by trade, but he had plenty of experience in the minor leagues playing first base. And I don't know, he's athletic, and you say, all right, you know, he's not going to kill you at first base. In fact, I actually thought he had the opportunity to be a plus defender. His defense has decreased dramatically, at least in the last few weeks. His play at first base, to your point, Maz, has not been good. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that his confidence is totally shot, because he can do it. He can play the position. I'm surprised we're actually having this discussion about his defense. It's spot on, by the way. I mean, we need to have the discussion. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that he's been so wretched at the plate, it's now starting to carry over into the field, which is why he shouldn't be on the big league roster. He needs to go to Worcester. He needs to try and figure it out, because this is not going to work anymore at the big league level this year. The experiment is completely and totally over. They need to address it. They need to address it immediately.
Okay, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of open lines, and we will get to your calls here in a minute. But the AAA demotion, And you said something a second ago. I don't know if you said, I think you said you think Dalbec can play in the league, but he can't do it now. I look at Dalbec and question whether or not he can do it in the league in Boston. Because you can go to a lot of places and suck for a little while. They put you on the bench. They rotate people in. No one's paying attention. No one cares. And look, maybe it's like that here now, too. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking that we're quite the intense baseball hotbed that we used to be, because we're not. But I do wonder, there are bigger market, bigger payroll players, and there are smaller market, smaller payroll players. And if you think it is just me saying this, believe me when I tell you that the Red Sox used to feel that way. There were guys that came up in the organization that I remember talking to executives there in the 2000s, and they would say, well, we're just not sure if he'd be a great fit for us. There's other places he can play, but it not necessarily would be a great fit with us, which is their way of saying we're a high payroll, big money, big pressure kind of team with big goals. So this guy can play in the big leagues for a team that finishes third or fourth in a smaller market, and he'll be fine. But here, where our goals are higher, our expectations are higher, no go, won't work. And Dalbec might be one of those guys. So do you remember like Brandon Moss?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, he was one of those guys.
Yep.
They looked at him as saying, look, he's a big league player. He's just not a big league player here.
By all accounts, really nice guy. Maybe they just felt like he wasn't going to fit in Boston. You'll never hear a bad word about Brandon Moss, the person. Maybe they just felt like he wasn't going to fit in. And I think, you know, kind of the point you're getting to, Maz, is the Red Sox did not expect to be in this position. And I think they expected to have a year and a half, 2 years, maybe even with Bobby Dalbec, to see if he could figure it out at first base, to see if he could figure it out at the big league level, because he did have some up and downs in the minor leagues because of the strikeout in his game. But obviously there's tremendous power there, and he went on tremendous ox streaks in the minor leagues. So I think they felt like they were going to have more time for him to figure it out in a lower pressure situation where you're winning 85 games and it really doesn't matter whether Bobby Dalbec is hitting 217 because maybe he hits 250 next year. We have 25 home run power. That luxury's gone now because you're in it. You should be in it to win it. And Bobby Dalbec cannot be your first baseman. Simply can't be. I mean, there's no room for this at this point.
So I want to ask you quickly about Franchi Cordero because the Red Sox made a roster move today. Danny Santana went back on the IL. Franchi Cordero got brought up. Cordero is not in the starting lineup tonight because the Yankees are starting a left-hander. It's Jordan Montgomery on the mound. So Cordero is not starting at first base. I believe it's Michael Chavis again playing first base.
No, Dalbec's in the lineup at first.
Oh, I take it back.
And Chavis
right.
is in the lineup at second.
You're right.
That's one hell of an 8-9 right there.
Okay, but I'll tell you what.
It's a lot of strikeout.
So after last night, I'm not going to complain about it. We had a guy who called up last night who was bitching about the fact that all the right-handed bats were in the lineup. And then Chavis went out and hit a home run. Dalbec hit a double. Cora played the matchups right versus left, and he was right.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. This is the right lineup for Cora tonight with the options that he has. No, absolutely. I mean, Dalbec and Chavis should both be in the lineup.
But just as an example of the difference between AAA and the big leagues, Franchi Cordero was here early in the year, struck out 37 times and had 17 hits. He batted 179.
That high?
He went to AAA, and he has had 55 hits and 56 strikeouts. So he's still striking out, but he made way more contact. He hit 329 with an OPS of 955. Now, can he do it in the big leagues? I doubt it, but you said you had some sort of Franchi Cordero stat?
Yeah, so Franchi's played 6 games at first base in the minor league level all this year in Worcester. He's going to play first base for the Red Sox probably at least until the trading deadline against right-handed pitchers. So people say first base is an easy position, Maz, right? You know, anybody can play first base.
Oh, boy.
Not this guy. You know, he came up as a shortstop, right? He played 165 games in the minor leagues at short. You know how many errors he committed?
Oh, it's in the 50s.
126.
126?
126 in 165 games. And you're putting this guy back in the infield. Holy crap. So if you think he's the answer at first base and you think anybody can play first base, something tells me the guy who played 165 games and made 126 errors in the infield, you got something coming your way, Maz.
Oh, so this ought to be good because not only that, my guess is he's going to play tomorrow and he'll get to face Gerrit Cole.
Oh, yeah, no, that'll be great.
So that's a good matchup, too, over at Fenway. But in any case, we've already gone over. I do see a few of you lined up. We'll get to your calls. We'll also get to Garrett Richards, his performance last night, what he said after the game, because I sense a theme in a lot of the commentary on Garrett Richards, which we will get to when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nobody aboard, two down in the ninth. Ground ball. There's Devers. Fires. And that's a win for the Red Sox tonight. They sweep the series, as it turns out. They win 7-4. 250th win in Alex Cora's career with the Boston Red Sox. Very sweet one tonight, Ed.
Yeah, it was impressive. It really was. I'll tell you what, Seb. Richard set the tone because he threw the ball well for 5 2/3 innings.
There are words you don't hear every day or haven't heard recently, of late. Richards threw the ball well.
Always believe, Maz.
Dennis Eckersley, and he's right. He's right. Here was the impressive thing about Garrett Richards last night. Dare I say he pitched? His breaking stuff, his off-speed stuff, had good bite, had good movement on it. So, which is interesting when you say, well, wait a minute, no spider tack, and you were still able to get good bite on your slider? Yeah, he was. And he's starting to throw a changeup, which is a hard change. It's like 91. But it almost moves like a two-seam fastball more than a changeup. But honestly, it doesn't matter. Anything that can tail away from a left-handed batter is going to serve him well. Because, again, it'll allow him to work both sides of the plate and actually teach him how to pitch. So we'll get to Richards in a minute, because I do find, you heard X say it there, Richards was, you know, pitched really well in this game, threw the ball well, you know, implying he was the key to the game. Richards himself talked about his mindset, his attitude, his adjustments. Cora talked about it a little bit. And I think there is a common theme there. But we'll take a couple of calls first. 617-779-0985. Our buddy Tom and Quincy will kick us off. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, I remember, I think I talked to both of you guys before the season started, and there was concerns with first base. Because a team of the stature of the Red Sox and the money they have should not be fielding a platoon at first base. And all we heard about was, well, the Franchi Cordero stuff, and they're going to do this with the Dahlbecks and all these people. We're going to left and right. We're going to do the matchups. Every person they've played there has blown so far. So the fact that they're bringing Cordero back up and putting him at first makes me a little bit sick. But the Dahlbeck situation, I talked to Matt last week, and it was more about the hopes and prayers that they actually go after a real Major League Baseball, solid, you know, all-star first base, you know, maybe not this year, but in the past, and that's Rizzo. And because Dahlbeck is not, and in my opinion, never will be an everyday first baseman, pro-level guy. He's a softball player, and I know that every team's got one of them. I think some teams have too many of them. Some teams are fielding a whole lineup of them. The Red Sox don't need these guys. You need a guy that can be in there against lefties, righties, play, you know, every day if possible, get the occasional days off, and get a guy that can actually hit and field to fill in when he can't. So, that guy can do neither.
Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you what, up until, you know, I don't agree with you overall on the platoon point. I mean, I generally do when you say the Red Sox shouldn't have a platoon at any position. I would say true. However, it is going to happen from time to time, and I'm okay with it in a spot or two.
How about 2018? Steve Pierce, Mitch Moreland.
Okay, so there you go. That one worked fine. Worked fine. Perfect. Yep. And most teams do have effectively what you would call a platoon catcher, but, you know, that one doesn't even count, really. But if you want to tell me one or maybe even two spots on the diamond, fine. Even if it's first base and it works, fine. I don't care. Here's the part I can't live with. The Red Sox should never, ever rank 13th in OPS at the position or 15th in defense. Given their resources, your performance at any spot on the field should never be worse than average. Ever. Let alone the defensive part of it. And I've been sort of saying to people up to this point, Matt, enough with the Rizzo talk. You're not going to get Rizzo. Yeah. Okay? Like, it's going to cost you something to get Rizzo. They're not going to trade a premium prospect. I'm starting to wonder, like, is there a way, can you put something with Dahlbeck and get Rizzo out of Chicago? Because the big thing for me now with Rizzo is the defense. Rizzo can pick it.
Yes, he can. And by the way, the nerds don't like him defensively because I guess his defensive metrics are bad this year. Guy won a gold glove last year. For whatever that's worth, he can pick it. He's always been able to play the position. Maybe he's older. Maybe the range isn't there. You know, whatever. The guy can play the position. He knows how to play the position. He's a winning player. Maz, he's a perfect fit for what they need.
Okay.
With the exception of the cost.
And so, look, and when you say the cost, you mean the trade, what they'd have to give up in the trade?
Well, I'm actually talking about the contract, too. Are they going to be willing to go over the CBT?
Okay, so that's no excuse for me. They should take the contract on. No-brainer.
I totally agree with that. Do they agree with that,
they
though?
They should. That's a fair question. Okay, I can't imagine that it's an obstacle this year. Why should it be an obstacle
now? It shouldn't be. You reset the tax penalties, but do we have the official answer on that? Like, I'm just putting it out there.
No, it's a fair question. John Tomasi brought it up yesterday. It's no excuse. If the Red Sox are staying under the luxury tax, shame on them.
Agreed.
Shame on them. But with Rizzo, I don't care what the metrics are. The metrics say Xander Bogaerts sucks defensively. And you know what? Here's what I'll tell you. Is he elite? No. He's good enough.
He makes the plays he's supposed to make, and Rizzo will pick it every single time.
And what they need at first base now is somebody who can make the plays he's supposed to make, because their first base defense sucks. Oh, my God, does it suck. And it's a bad place to suck defensively, because it can ruin other plays. Yeah,
particularly when you have, you know, Devers, who's not exactly the most accurate. It doesn't exactly have the most accurate arm at third base.
Totally
right.
You
need somebody to bail him out.
Yeah, you're going to have someone over there that can help him out a little bit. Ryan's in a car. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, Maz, you kind of hit the nail on the head with Dalbec. I mean, he's going to be somewhere like in Arizona or Kansas City, because he does have, you know, good batted ball profile. And I won't get into that because you don't care about the exit velocity and whatnot. But let's get into the trade candidate, too. You just talked about Rizzo. The Cubs are rebuilding. I don't think it will take that much to get him. He's the home run guy. The easiest guy to get would be C.J. Cron from the Rockies. You know, he's a righty, so I know you want a lefty, but he would be the easiest guy to get, and you wouldn't have to give up much to get him. And probably the home run guy, in my opinion, and he's sort of what we probably wanted Dalbec to be, is Joey Gallo at Texas. He's 27 years old. He has one more year of arbitration left. So that might get you to the Tristan Casas era, you know, late next year or 2023. And, you know, he strikes out a lot, Maz, but he's got a 390 OBP. He walks 20% of the time, and he's got 24 homers this year. So
okay, so wait a minute. Whose numbers are those at the end? Are those Cassius's numbers?
I think he was talking about Gallo.
Joey Gallo.
Oh, okay, all right.
Joey
Gallo. I know, but you went from Cassius into Gallo. So look, I want a lefty bat over there, but I'll tell you what I want more than anything. Someone who can catch it. I want a first baseman who can catch the ball. Dalbec can't catch the ball. He can catch a basic throw. I'm talking about picking balls out of the dirt and doing things that you're accustomed to seeing from a big league first baseman. Dalbec can't do it.
I think he can, but I don't think he can do it this year, because I think he's carrying over his struggles at the plate into the field, which tells you everything you need to know. The experiment needs to end. Dalbec can't be your first baseman anymore. He can play that position, but the way you're seeing him play it now speaks to me that this guy, he's shot. He's completely shot this year. Can't do it anymore.
It wouldn't be unprecedented, Matt. So I'll tell you what, I'll defer to you on that one, okay? Every time I watch him, he never picks a ball out of the dirt. Never picks it. And that, to me, is sort of like you say, well, if the throw's bad, no. The good first baseman picks that. Some of those throws are routine picks. And especially the ones that are close to you. The one last night was a tough play. It was a tough pick. It was a little bit of in-between, although when I watched it again, the ball bounced a good 3 or 4 feet from him. The in-betweeners can be usually a little closer than that. All he had to do was step back and catch it on the hop. You see guys do it all the time. He just can't read it either. I think his instincts at first base suck. Jeff's in New Hampshire. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Quick wish list for the trade deadline. Two arms for the staff. Backup catcher, because I'm worried about Vasquez's workload. And obviously a first baseman. Definitely Rizzo would be my guy. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm not worried about the backup catcher. They like Plawecki.
Yep.
I don't think that that's a need. And worst case, based on everything I read, and again, I haven't seen enough of him to know. You hit him. He was here for a brief stint. From what I hear, Wong is good defensively.
Yeah. Good okay. receiver of the ball. The guy's hitting, you know, .160 in Worcester or whatever he's hitting. But you know.
Yeah, all I'm saying is I don't put catcher on the list. But I'll tell you what, since he brought it up, the need for pitching. Matt McCarthy, hold the thought, because I want to get your thought on the need for pitching and how great it is for the Red Sox. Essentially, what I want you to think about is what you would prioritize at the deadline, first base or pitching. Okay, because I think those are the two clear needs. Pitching's always a need. McCarthy will get you caught up on headlines, so don't go anywhere. I do want to get to Garrett Richards as well, and we'll do all of that when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on your home for Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Garrett, why do you think your slider worked so well tonight?
You know, I'm starting to figure out hand position and I'm figuring out some things mechanically right now that are really moving in the right direction. You know, I've been throwing a lot of strikes lately. Walks have gone down. I wouldn't say that, like, I'm pitching to contact more, but I'm trying to be in the zone more, but also with that comes, you know, a couple of mistakes that I got burned on tonight. But those things happen. You know, I'm proud of the way that I went out and competed. Baskey called a great game. The guys played great defense behind me. Can't say enough about this team. They gave me a lead at the very beginning. I gave up a little bit, and then, you know, they put the icing on it at the end.
Following last night's game, and he did pitch better. And the operative word is pitch. It wasn't just a guy out there, you know, throwing from his ass and letting the natural movement of his pitches and the spin get people out. It was a guy actually moving the ball around, and he had good bite on his off-speed stuff. So I don't mean to minimize that, because that's a critical factor too. But you know, this to me is sort of the essence of the whole sticky substance thing. Oh, now you have to learn how to pitch again. Now you got to move the ball away from lefties and away from righties. You got to pitch to both sides of the plate. You got to be able also to get the ball to dart, you know, in and away from both sides. That's what the art of pitching is, right? Work the plate into quadrants, and can you manipulate the ball coming in and out on both corners? So that's what the challenge is. Very few guys can do it. That's why pitching's at a premium. It's hard to do. To me, it's at the core of the game. He did say last night, you know, fewer walks. True. Big thing for him.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, big thing. More control.
And the other thing you hear with Garrett Richards, Eckersley said it at the end of the broadcast. Richards said, you know, I'm starting to figure some of this out. I'm telling you, it's like psychotherapy with this guy. They got to get him to believe it. They got to get him to believe it, because he's a mental case. And so they really have to work on his head, not his arm. And so I think half the stuff they're telling him, my hand position, and is to distract him from the reality that he can't use sticky stuff anymore. It's to make him believe that it's altering his stuff in such a way that he can still get people out. And his stuff is good.
It is.
It's not great, but it's good.
This guy's been a pretty decent pitcher at times in his big league career. I mean, before he had the bad knee injury with the Angels, he looked like a pretty promising pitcher, and he's a guy who's bounced around a little bit, hasn't really figured it out, and now you see why, Maz. And you were on this early in the year, and you were 100% right about it. He had no clue how to pitch. Never knew. He was a thrower. He wasn't a pitcher. And even just hearing him talk a little bit more last night, just talking a little bit about his mentality and his approach, okay, you know, was, you know, using the changeup a little bit, and I had, you know, feel for the slider, and I changed my hand position. He's actually talking about pitching.
Correct.
He's actually talking about the approach that you have to have when you're on the mound. And this guy never learned it, because he was probably the type of guy who got by because he had pretty good stuff. He had pretty good break, but never, ever learned how to do it. Probably because he was hurt half the time and was spent rehabbing, and he wasn't spending his time learning how to pitch. And he got here, they took the stuff away from him, and he was a complete and total wreck. If that's the Garrett Richards you get last night, as a fourth or fifth starter, you can take it. I just don't want him at all near any playoff game, because mentally, I don't think he can handle it.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, again, let's let them get there first, but they're going to have better options than that, which I'm going to get to the pitching staff with you here in just a second. But I'll tell you what, let's take a quick phone call. Sean is in Wakefield on the options at first base. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, man. Maz, I just wanted your opinion with Arroyo at first base. I know they did that recently, and I know he just hurt his hamstring, but with 100 less at-bats, he dominates Dahlbeck's stats in every hitting category. I don't know the breakdown between lefties versus righties, but I just wanted your take on what you thought about him being an option there.
Thanks. Okay, so I like Arroyo. He's been on the field, but let me just say that this latest injury has pushed me over the edge. I'm done. I can't keep wondering when the next injury is going to be. He comes back, he plays for 10 days, and he gets hurt, and he's out for 10.
Yep.
It's just it's happened over and over again, and I can't do that. I can't put my faith in a guy who gets hurt every 2 weeks. Can't do it. So I still think first base is a priority. You want to carry a guy like Arroyo as a utility guy? I'm in.
Great. Yep. He's got some pop. Good hitter. Feels kind of like a glue guy, an energy guy kind of guy. I like him. He can't stay healthy. He's never been able to stay healthy. He won his games played 2017, 34, 20, 16, 14, 50 this year. It's the most games he's ever played.
Yeah, so
he can't stay healthy.
He just feels to me like a guy you can pick your spots with. He can give you a lot at a lot of different places, but as soon as you're relying on him, forget it. This is not going to work.
And it's not because of ability. It's because of the ability or availability, shall we say.
Exactly.
He's gotten hurt his entire career. First round pick, but injuries have been a big problem.
So the pitching staff is something that a lot of people have concerns about, rightfully so. It's the one thing that everybody's looking for at the deadline. The old adage, you can never have enough. So I said this to you before the break. I want to get back to it. If you had to pick right now, what's your priority? First base or pitching?
I'll preface this by saying they should do both. They can do both. There's no excuse if they don't do both.
What's first?
First base, because it's an everyday position. They need an everyday first baseman. This isn't about getting a platoon guy. This isn't about plugging somebody in at the bottom of their order. They need a legitimate, bona fide, everyday first baseman. That becomes more of a priority than a third or a fourth starter. It just does at this point.
Yeah, so to me, it is absolutely first base. And this leads to a discussion about the pitching staff, because I think that these two things go hand in hand. You would say, why the hell would you not go out and get pitching at a trade deadline when every contending team goes out and needs pitching at the deadline? And I would say it's a legit criticism, and I might be stupid for saying it. I totally allow for that point. I also look at it and say, I think the Red Sox have done a good job managing their staff. And more importantly, I think whatever kind of pitcher they bring in is going to be very comparable to what they already have.
That's a fair point. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it, but I think you're spot on with that.
So now you're adding depth. You're not adding quality. Okay? There's a difference. And again, Nathan Eovaldi had a profound impact on the 2018 Red Sox. So I don't want to tell you that he didn't. And I didn't love the fact that they re-signed him, and now I'm glad he's here. So I've been wrong in the past. But I do look at it and say, Eovaldi, and again, I'm assuming, probably wrongly, that you're going to add Chris Sale here, although I don't know what he's going to be like. But the point is, between the guys you have, Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, Nick Pivetta, and then now Hauk and Garrett Whitlock in the bullpen, even if those guys are only going to go a couple of innings, I'll take it. I think you've got a lot of guys who are decent. And you're an offense-first team. You will be. You're going to have a hard time matching up with the best teams in the playoffs on the mound anyway. Unless you get Max Scherzer, which isn't going to happen. And even then, you've only got one of them. The Dodgers have three. Okay, so if you get to that point where you get to the World Series. And the Astros starters are better than the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
So are Oakland's. So I don't know that you're gonna cover that gap. There's nothing you can do there to close that gap. So you know what? Go get me a real first baseman. Go get me a real first baseman. And then if you can pick up a middle-of-the-road guy for nothing, fine, add him too. But I'd put first base first on the list.
As much as I'd like them to add a Danny Duffy type, and as much as I think they should add a Danny Duffy type, Matt Boyd, middle-of-the-rotation guy, major league pitcher. You know, somebody that I feel better about than Martin Perez every 5 days, or even, you know, Garrett Richards every 5 days. As much as they should do that, you are exactly right when you say this is not like bringing in Scherzer or bringing in Jose Berrios or even Herman Marquez from the Colorado Rockies, who I think is, you know, towards the top of a rotation, you know, at least compared to guys like, you know, Duffy and Boyd. Those guys, Duffy and Boyd, and, you know, the characters kind of in that cluster of pitchers, they're not going to make such a profound impact as a, I don't know, everyday first baseman. I think it's more important at this point.
I mean, that's what I would do. I would invest in the first base part of it. And the only reason I balk at a guy like that, I balk at a guy like Rizzo, is because Rizzo's a free agent at the end of the year. And so if you want to go out and get Rizzo, and again, you have Tristan Cassius coming too. Part of me says just wait. But if the price is really low at the deadline, well, then fine. I mean, you want to bring in a guy like Rizzo, and I dumped all over the idea yesterday. I'm starting to think that the cost for Rizzo might be lower than I originally thought.
And he might be the difference between winning a playoff series and losing a playoff series.
Their defense is so bad at first base, Matt. It hit me in the face like a shovel last night. Their defense at first base is so effing bad. You can't play defense like that at first base and win. You can't do it. We take the position for granted because we say, well, any stiff can play first base. You just put some fat guy over there with a glove and it's fine. It's still, when you see bad defense over there, you then say, no, I got to get someone who can at least pick balls out of the dirt.
Wait, don't the Red Sox have to do something now because Nelson Cruz got traded from the Minnesota Twins to the Tampa Rays just now?
Okay, so Nelson Cruz just got dealt to me?
Yep.
Well, so there you go.
Jeff Passan, blue check mark.
Okay, so there you go.
Passons.
So look, that's a good move for Tampa. They need real bats in that lineup. So good for Tampa. Nelson Cruz, as Jimmy, next time, let's hit the breaking news sounder on that sucker.
That's a significant development in the division. Pressure's on, Heim.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
That's right.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jeff Passan, blue checkmark on Twitter. Breaking, all in capitals. The Tampa Bay Rays are finalizing a deal to acquire slugger Nelson Cruz from the Minnesota Twins, sources tell ESPN.
Okay, so there you go. And look, Cruz has been one of the better DHs in the league now for some time.
For a decade.
Yeah, this year, 294, 19 homers with the Twins, 907 OPS. Last year, the OPS was 902. The year before that, it was over 1,000. This guy's been one of the most productive hitters in the league now for a long, long time.
Modern chemistry. Ooh, it is something else, Matt.
So,
it really is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, however it gets there,
That's right. And it's got him there.
But in the last, the last 12, 13 years in the big leagues, his OPS is almost 900, 890. So Nelson Cruz joins the Tampa Bay Rays, which, well put, Matt McCarthy, your move, Chaim Bloom. Your move. Tyler's in Auburn on the pitching rotation. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, I don't know about you, but very close to being done. Or actually, I think I am done with Martin Perez being in the rotation, especially given if Tanner Houck can come up and pitch really well tonight. I'll listen. And
Tyler, before you go, who would you take out first? Would you take out Martin Perez or Garrett Richards?
I think I'd take Perez out because I like what Richards has brought last night and over the last couple starts. Perez, has he lasted five innings, like his last three starts? I don't think he has. I really don't. And I think Houck could bring, you know, some youth to the rotation. I don't know. I like Houck a lot more than I like Perez. I'll listen offline.
Thanks. Okay, Matt.
The problem with Houck is he doesn't have a third pitch and he feels like a two times through the order type of guy. It feels like a guy who you really pick your spots with, which isn't a problem. I think they're going to use him aggressively out of the bullpen, pick some spots against a right-handed heavy lineup like the Yankees or the Blue Jays. I like their plan with him. The caller's spot on about Perez. He blows. He was one of the worst pitchers in baseball for 3 years leading up to his arrival in Boston. He's turning back into a pumpkin. He better not be in the rotation after the trading deadline.
Okay, I want to get to Tanner Houck because you just mentioned something that I think is worth hitting on. And I don't remember the caller's name. It literally goes in and out one ear in like 5 seconds. It's unbelievable how that happens.
I think it was Tyler.
Okay, so Tyler, here's the good news for you. All things being equal, neither one of them is going to be in the rotation. Richards is out and Perez is out. They're both out. And Houck is in the bullpen, as Matt said, and Chris Sale's in the rotation. If it all goes right, that's what you're going to get, along with Nick Pivetta, Eovaldi, and Eduardo Rodriguez. And you know what? If you lay it out like that, those four guys, Sale, Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, Pivetta, it's not horrible.
You can do worse.
It's not horrible. In fact, if I were playing the Red Sox, I'd be a little worried. If those guys are on and they hit, I might actually be in for a fight.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.